Iran's attack exposes vulnerabilities in world trade's most critical choke points. Executive summary: the world's most critical maritime choke point is now a contested battlefield, and the implications extend far beyond the price of crude. On September 9, 2026, Tehran announced what U.S. Central Command confirmed was the largest coordinated Iranian assault on commercial shipping since the onset of the Iran war, a 10-vessel attack near the Strait of Hormuz, accompanied by ballistic missile strikes on a U.S. military base in Jordan, and a sustained campaign against American naval assets that, by Friday of that week, had included attempted missile strikes on U.S. destroyers and aircraft carrier, and at least one marine vessel. The same week, Iran's Houthi proxies seized Makkah port near the Bab el-Mandeb Strait, functionally closing the second of the two choke points through which the majority of global seaborne energy trade must pass. The Hercules Star, a Gibraltar-flagged vessel, recorded at least one fatality. Crude prices skyrocketed in response. The consensus reading is that this is a dangerous but ultimately containable escalation, another spasm in a long-running regional conflict. That reading is wrong. What is unfolding in the Persian Gulf and Red Sea is not an escalation of a regional war. It is the operational proof of concept for a new Iranian strategic doctrine, choke point coercion at scale, designed not to defeat the United States militarily, but to impose costs so asymmetrically severe on global commerce that Washington's coalition partners fracture, energy markets destabilize, and Tehran achieves political leverage it could never obtain through conventional confrontation. Understanding this doctrine, its logic, its limits, and its second-order effects on capital markets, supply chains, defense procurement, and the geopolitical alignment of the Indo-Pacific is the task of this briefing. The Plaquemium thesis: the real damage from this crisis will not be absorbed in the Persian Gulf. It will be absorbed in European bond markets, Asian manufacturing supply chains, and the balance sheets of energy importers across the global South. The actors who shape the resolution of this crisis and who pocket the structural windfall are not the ones dominating the headlines. Situation report: the timeline of the current escalation cycle is precise and worth reconstructing in full, because the sequencing reveals strategic intent rather than reactive violence. Beginning the Friday before September 9, 2026, Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps launched a series of ballistic missile attacks targeting U.S. Navy destroyers operating in the Persian Gulf region. U.S. officials subsequently confirmed to the Wall Street Journal that these strikes also targeted an aircraft carrier and at least one marine vessel, a significant elevation in targeting ambition compared with prior IRGC harassment operations. These were not drone swarms or fast boat provocations. These were ballistic missiles aimed at the core instruments of American naval power projection. On Tuesday, September 9, U.S. Central Command responded with what it characterized as retaliatory strikes, destroying five Iranian oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman and near Karg Island, Iran's principal oil export terminal on the northern Gulf. CENTCOM's statement described the targeted tankers as components of a multi-billion-dollar shadow network that funds the IRGC and its regional proxies. Secretary of State Marco Rubio offered the clearest articulation of the retaliatory doctrine: for every attempted strike on a U.S. naval vessel, Iran would lose tankers. The logic is economically calibrated: threaten Tehran's revenue base rather than simply trading kinetic blows. Iran's response was immediate and larger in scale. Tehran announced strikes on 10 vessels near the Strait of Hormuz, identified as two U.S. ships and eight commercial oil carriers, and launched ballistic missiles at a military installation used by U.S. forces in Jordan. The Gibraltar-flagged Hercules Star reported fires and at least one fatality. Multiple other vessels confirmed fires aboard. The same day, Houthi forces, operating with Iranian logistical and intelligence support, seized Makkah port, a strategically critical position commanding approaches to the Bab el-Mandeb Strait, the 18-mile choke point connecting the Red Sea to the Gulf of Aden. The geographical simultaneity is not coincidental. Hormuz and Bab el-Mandeb are the two pillars of the global energy transit architecture. Roughly 20% of global oil consumption transits Hormuz in normal operating conditions, while Bab el-Mandeb handles approximately 10% of global seaborne trade. Pressure on both simultaneously does not merely disrupt. It eliminates the rerouting options that allowed shipping companies to manage the earlier, lower-intensity Houthi Red Sea campaign of 2023-2024. At peak pre-crisis volumes, the Strait of Hormuz carried approximately 21 million barrels of oil per day, roughly one-fifth of global consumption. There is no alternative route for Persian Gulf producers. Historical shipping data, pre-2026, estimates Israel's concurrent decision to punish the United Kingdom over British trade restrictions. The specific mechanism, unreported in accessible source text but referenced in the Foreign Policy World Brief of September 9, adds a further layer of Allied coalition stress at precisely the moment Washington most needs unified partner support. Strategic context to understand why Iran has escalated to this level at this moment. One must understand the strategic logic that has governed IRGC doctrine since at least the 1980s tanker war, and has been refined through four decades of asymmetric confrontation with the United States. The tanker war template and its evolution between 1984 and 1988. Iran and Iraq attacked a combined total of more than 400 commercial vessels in the Persian Gulf in what became known as the Tanker War. Iran's strategic objective was not to destroy shipping per se, but to impose sufficient insurance and transit costs on Iraqi oil exports to strangle Baghdad's war financing. The United States ultimately intervened. Operation Earnest Will in 1987 involved reflagging Kuwaiti tankers and escorting them with U.S. naval vessels, but the episode demonstrated a durable truth. A determined regional power, operating at the margins of conventional warfare, could impose costs on global commerce that vastly exceeded the military resources required to generate them. The 2023-2024 Houthi Red Sea campaign was the modern proof of concept. Houthi drone and missile strikes, far more technologically sophisticated than the mines and fast boats of 1987, forced major shipping lines including Maersk, MSC, and CMA CGM to reroute via the Cape of Good Hope, adding approximately 10-14 days of transit time per voyage and materially elevating container freight rates historical shipping industry data, 2024. The strategic cost to Iran of sustaining that campaign was marginal. The economic cost to global trade was enormous. The lesson Tehran drew was not that this strategy had limits. The lesson was that it had not yet been pushed far enough. The choke point doctrine, from harassment to siege, what is new in September 2026 is the deliberate, coordinated activation of both Hormuz and Bab el-Mandeb simultaneously, combined with direct kinetic attacks on U.S. Navy capital assets. This represents a qualitative shift from harassment to siege. It is Iran executing what military strategists call an area denial operation at civilizational scale, threatening to make the Persian Gulf and Red Sea economically unnavigable for adversaries while retaining Iranian use of the same waters. The historical parallel most relevant here is not the tanker war, but the 1973 Arab oil embargo, not because the mechanisms are identical, but because the structural leverage is analogous. In October 1973, OPEC producers demonstrated that control over energy supply could be weaponized as geopolitical coercion. The embargo lasted only 5 months. But it permanently altered the architecture of Western energy policy, accelerated strategic petroleum reserve construction, and reshuffled global alliance relationships. The difference in 2026 is that Iran is not manipulating supply through a cartel mechanism. It is attacking the physical infrastructure of transit, a harder problem to solve through diplomatic negotiation or demand destruction. Why now? The confluence of Iranian incentives, three structural forces, converged to make this escalation rational from Tehran's perspective in September 2026. First, the Karg Island strikes by U.S. forces created an existential revenue threat. Karg Island handles the overwhelming majority of Iranian crude exports. Losing that terminal, even temporarily, threatens the financial viability of the IRGC's regional proxy network, the Hezbollah nodes, the Houthi supply chains, the Iraqi militia infrastructure. For an Iranian leadership that has staked its regional influence on the axis of resistance architecture, allowing that network to be financially starved without retaliation is strategically unacceptable. Second, the geopolitical window is narrow. The Trump administration's posture, as signaled by Rubio's tanker for missile calculus, is aggressively retaliatory but operationally constrained by coalition politics. Israel's simultaneous friction with the United Kingdom suggests that Washington's alliance management burden is already at capacity. Iran's strategists understand that escalating when the United States is simultaneously managing coalition fractures, a war in Ukraine, and rising China pressure in the Pacific creates response constraints that would not exist in a less congested strategic environment. Third, the Houthi seizure of Mockaport demonstrates that the axis of resistance, despite the damage absorbed in Gaza and Lebanon over the preceding 2 years, retains meaningful operational capacity. For Iranian hardliners, the Makkah seizure is proof that the proxy network remains a viable instrument of power projection, and that the moment to press the advantage is before that network absorbs further attrition. The Cold War parallel, and its limits the strategic architecture most analogous to the current situation, is the Soviet Navy's Cold War doctrine of sea denial, using submarines, mines, and anti-ship missiles to deny NATO use of the North Atlantic in the event of a European war, without necessarily seeking to defeat NATO forces in open battle. The USSR never needed to close the Atlantic. It only needed to make the cost of keeping it open prohibitive. Iran's current doctrine is structurally identical, adapted for the choke point geography of the Indian Ocean littoral. The limit of this parallel is that the Soviet Union was a peer competitor with full-spectrum deterrence. Iran is a regional power with asymmetric capabilities and genuine economic vulnerabilities. The question, the pivotal strategic uncertainty of this crisis, is whether those vulnerabilities are sufficient to deter further escalation, or whether Tehran has calculated that the costs of backing down now exceed the costs of continued confrontation. Actor analysis: Iran's decision-making architecture supreme leader, Ali Khamenei, remains the ultimate arbiter of Iranian strategic decisions, but the operational initiative in the current escalation almost certainly originates within the IRGC, specifically its Navy and Aerospace Force commands. The IRGC has demonstrated consistent institutional interest in escalating its maritime capabilities since the 2019 tanker seizure campaign, and the September 2026 operations carry the hallmarks of long-planned contingency execution rather than reactive improvisation. The targeting of U.S. capital ships, destroyers, and a carrier is not a decision made at the operational level. It reflects supreme leadership authorization. Khamenei's strategic calculus is shaped by a core belief, hardened over 4 decades, that the United States ultimately lacks the political will to sustain the costs of a full-scale war against Iran. He has watched U.S. forces withdraw from Afghanistan and draw down in Iraq. He watched the Biden administration's reluctance to escalate after the 2024 Iranian strikes on Israel. His working hypothesis is that Washington will absorb a certain level of damage before domestic political pressure and coalition fractures force a negotiated off-ramp. U.S. decision-making. Rubio's doctrine secretary of state Marco Rubio's public formulation lose tankers for every attempted missile strike on U.S. ships is operationally clear, but strategically incomplete. It defines a retaliatory mechanism, but not an end state. The United States has not articulated what conditions would produce a cessation of hostilities, which means the current cycle of retaliation and counter-retaliation has no defined terminal point. CENTCOM's operational posture, destroying Iranian oil infrastructure as financial coercion, is a coherent strategy for degrading IRGC revenues, but it carries the risk of pushing Iran toward the kind of desperate, maximalist action that rational deterrence theory predicts when an actor's back is against the wall. The Houthi variable. Abdulmalik al-Houthi's calculus, the Houthi seizure of Makkah port on September 10, is the single most consequential operational development of the week, arguably more significant than Iran's direct attacks, because it demonstrates that the proxy network can execute independent operational initiatives that amplify Iranian strategic pressure without requiring direct Iranian fingerprints. Abdulmalik al-Houthi has shown throughout the 2023-2026 period that the Houthis are not simply Iranian instruments. They have their own strategic objectives in Yemen and their own domestic legitimacy. The Makkah seizure simultaneously advances Iranian chokepoint coercion and consolidates Houthi territorial control over western Yemen's most strategically vital port. These interests align, but they are not identical, a distinction with significant implications for any eventual negotiated resolution. The coalition fracture, UK-Israel friction, the reference in Foreign Policy's September 9 report to Israel punishing the United Kingdom over trade restrictions deserves sustained analytical attention. At a moment when the United States requires maximum Allied cohesion to sustain maritime operations against Iran, a public rupture between its two most significant Middle East partners creates exactly the political space that Tehran's strategy is designed to exploit. The specifics of the UK-Israel dispute are not fully articulated in available source text, but the structural dynamic is clear. Sanctions, trade restrictions, and political pressure on Israel from European governments have been accumulating for 2 years, and the eruption of visible bilateral friction during a major regional crisis is a direct gift to Iranian information operations. The defense technology layer, Chariot Defense and the new procurement urgency, the emergence of companies like Chariot Defense, which announced a senior advisory board comprising military, civilian defense, and venture capital leaders in September 2026, is a leading indicator of the defense procurement shift that events in the Strait of Hormuz are accelerating. The composition of such advisory boards, blending operational military expertise with private capital, reflects the institutionalization of the defense technology investment thesis that the current crisis is validating in real time. The specific capabilities relevant to the Hormuz crisis include autonomous maritime patrol systems, advanced mine countermeasure technologies, AI-enabled threat detection for naval vessels, and long-range anti-ship missile defenses. Each of these represents a procurement priority that September 2026 has just moved from important to urgent. Scenario analysis. Three distinct scenarios define the strategic possibility space over the next 6 to 18 months. They are not equally likely, and their market implications diverge sharply. Scenario 1, managed escalation and negotiated corridor probability, 35% trigger, backchannel diplomacy, potentially through Oman, Qatar, or a Chinese intermediary, produces a de facto maritime truce. Iran halts attacks on commercial vessels in exchange for a U.S. pause on striking Iranian energy infrastructure. Neither side formally concedes anything. What it looks like, commercial shipping resumes through Hormuz under implicit rules of engagement similar to the post-2019 period. Houthis retain Makkah, but do not extend attacks into deepwater Bab el-Mandeb transits. Crude prices stabilize, but at a structurally elevated floor. Our assessment would suggest $20.35 per barrel above the pre-crisis baseline, reflecting the permanent elevation of political risk premium. Market implication: energy equities retain elevated valuations. Shipping insurance premiums remain elevated but manageable. The defense procurement wave already triggered continues, but at an investment rather than emergency pace. Scenario 2, escalation to regional war probability, 40% trigger, Iran successfully strikes a U.S. Navy capital vessel, causing significant casualties or U.S. Strikes on Karg Island cause a complete shutdown of Iranian crude exports, prompting a nothing to lose, Iranian response. What it looks like, full U.S. Naval blockade of Iranian crude exports. IRGC mining of Hormuz approaches. Iranian ballistic missile strikes on Gulf Cooperation Council energy infrastructure, specifically Saudi Aramco's Abqaiq processing facility or UAE offshore platforms. Oil prices spike to levels not seen since the 1970s supply shocks. Global recession risk becomes primary market narrative. Market implication: crude prices reach levels that structurally damage demand. European and Asian economies enter recession. Emerging market dollar-denominated debt faces crisis as current account deficits blow out. Defense contractors and domestic energy producers in the United States are the only clear beneficiaries. Our assessment, scenario 2 is the modal outcome, not because either party seeks full regional war, but because the escalation ladder has no agreed-upon rungs. When both sides are simultaneously retaliating and claiming defensive justification, the threshold for catastrophic miscalculation drops precipitously. Scenario 3, U.S. Decisive military action and Iranian capitulation. Probability: 25% trigger. The United States conducts strikes sufficient to degrade Iran's ballistic missile arsenal and naval capability to a level where continued Hormuz operations are operationally unfeasible for Tehran. Combined with maximum economic pressure, this produces an Iranian decision to seek an off-ramp. What it looks like, significant U.S. military operations against IRGC infrastructure, air defense systems, missile production facilities, naval bases. Short-term oil price spike followed by collapse as the risk premium deflates. Iranian internal political crisis as IRGC loses material capability and credibility. Market implication: sharp crude price spike followed by normalization. Significant U.S. defense contractor upside on strike platform utilization and replacement ordnance procurement. Potential for Iranian political transition creates medium-term investment opportunity in Iranian reconstruction, but with a multi-year time horizon. Economic and market implications: the crude price arithmetic Hormuz is not just an oil route. It is the only oil route for Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Kuwait, Iraq, and Qatar, five of the world's 10 largest oil exporters. There is no pipeline alternative that moves the volumes that Hormuz handles. The Saudi East-West pipeline, Petroline, can move approximately 5 million barrels per day to Red Sea terminals, but the Houthi seizure of Makkah creates risk even for that rerouting option. The UAE's Abu Dhabi crude oil pipeline can move approximately 1.5 million barrels per day to Fujairah on the Gulf of Oman, bypassing Hormuz but not eliminating all exposure. The net effect is that a sustained Hormuz disruption removes more crude supply from the global market than any single event in the history of the oil era. The 1973 Arab oil embargo cut global supply by approximately 7%. A full Hormuz closure would remove something in the range of 20% of global supply, a comparison that underscores why Scenario 2 would produce an economic catastrophe without modern precedent. Even a partial disruption, slower transits, elevated insurance costs, reduced throughput, has already produced the crude price spike noted in foreign policy's reporting. The structural impact on energy inflation feeds directly into central bank policy frameworks across the developed world, most of which are still managing the legacy of the 2021-2024 inflationary period. Shipping and insurance. The immediate financial transmission war risk insurance premiums for Persian Gulf transits have historically moved from fractions of a percentage point to several percentage points of vessel value within days of major incidents. During the 2019 tanker attacks, war risk premiums approximately tripled within a week. The September 2026 attacks are categorically larger in scale and geopolitical consequence. The implication for shipping economics is not merely higher insurance costs, but the practical withdrawal of coverage for certain vessel classes and routes, forcing blanket rerouting decisions regardless of individual operator risk appetite. Container shipping via Cape of Good Hope rerouting adds approximately 10-14 days of transit time on Asia-Europe routes, as was demonstrated during the 2023-2024 Houthi campaign. At current fuel costs and vessel operating expenses, this translates to materially higher freight rates that appear in European and North American consumer goods prices with a 60-90-day lag. The inflation transmission mechanism from Persian Gulf military operations to supermarket shelves in Frankfurt and Chicago is approximately 3 months long. The Gulf sovereign wealth affect the six Gulf Cooperation Council sovereign wealth funds, Saudi Arabia's PIF, Abu Dhabi's ADIA, Mubadala, and others, collectively manage assets estimated in the trillions of dollars, with significant allocations to global private equity, infrastructure, and technology. A sustained Hormuz disruption does two contradictory things to these funds simultaneously. It elevates their hydrocarbon revenues. Higher crude prices benefit the underlying producing states, while simultaneously creating direct security threats to the energy infrastructure that generates those revenues. Abqaiq was attacked with drones in 2019. The next escalation cycle would presumably target Saudi infrastructure with ballistic missiles, which are harder to intercept. The investment implication is that Gulf Cooperation Council sovereign funds will face internal pressure to accelerate portfolio diversification away from domestic energy exposure and into hard assets, infrastructure, and defense technology in stable jurisdictions, precisely the dynamic that benefits U.S. and European private equity managers with established Gulf Cooperation Council limited partner relationships. Defense procurement. The Chariot Defense signaled the timing of Chariot Defense's advisory board announcement amid a week of dramatic Persian Gulf escalation, captures in microcosm the defense investment dynamic that September 2026 is structuring. Companies like Chariot, positioned at the intersection of venture capital and operational military expertise, are the vehicles through which the next generation of asymmetric defense capabilities will be funded and fielded. The relevant capabilities for the Hormuz scenario include autonomous unmanned surface vessels for mine countermeasures and convoy escort, A-enabled sensor fusion for multi-axis threat environments, long-range precision strike systems for standoff engagement of IRGC fast boat swarms, and advanced electronic warfare systems to defeat Iranian drone and missile targeting systems. The established defense prime contractors, Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, L3Harris, will absorb the largest dollar volumes of emergency procurement. But the structural growth opportunity is in the mid-tier and emerging defense technology sector, where smaller, more agile firms can field capabilities faster than the traditional acquisition bureaucracy allows. Second order affects the Asian energy importer crisis. The most consequential second order effect of sustained Hormuz disruption will not be felt in the United States, which has achieved effective energy self-sufficiency, but in Asia. Japan, South Korea, India, and China are among the world's largest importers of Persian Gulf crude. Japan and South Korea are almost entirely dependent on Middle Eastern oil. China sources approximately 40% of its crude from Gulf producers, with the bulk transiting Hormuz. This creates a geopolitical stress fracture of the first order. China, simultaneously a major Iranian trade partner and a major Gulf energy importer, faces a structural conflict of interest. Beijing has invested heavily in Iranian energy infrastructure under the 2021 Iran-China 25-year cooperation agreement. It also cannot afford a Hormuz closure that starves its manufacturing economy of feedstock. The CCP's response to this dilemma, whether to pressure Iran, mediate a diplomatic resolution, or quietly facilitate Iranian operations while publicly calling for de-escalation, will be the single most important geopolitical variable in the medium-term trajectory of this crisis. For Japan and South Korea, the energy vulnerability is existential. Both governments will face intense domestic pressure to secure alternative supply arrangements, accelerate LNG import terminal construction, and invest in strategic petroleum reserve expansion. This accelerates a structural shift in Asian energy policy that was already underway following the 2022 Russia-Ukraine war's disruption of European energy markets. Supply chain restructuring. The manufacturing relocation accelerant global manufacturers have spent the 2020-2026 period building geographic diversification into their supply chains in response to COVID disruptions, U.S.-China trade tensions, and the Russia-Ukraine war. The Hormuz crisis accelerates this process by adding Persian Gulf transit risk to the existing calculus. For manufacturers sourcing petrochemical inputs, specialty chemicals, or energy-intensive industrial processes, the Persian Gulf disruption creates direct cost pressure that conventional supply chain optimization cannot absorb. The second-order implication for private equity is significant. Portfolio companies with Persian Gulf supply chain exposure will require near-term operational intervention, alternative sourcing, inventory buffer financing, cost pass-through negotiations with customers. Private equity sponsors with energy-intensive industrial holdings face an immediate value-at-risk calculation. Those who have already stress-tested their portfolios for $130 plus crude will have a clear competitive advantage in the current fundraising environment. The European political economy. Energy inflation meets defense spending demands. Europe faces a convergence of pressures that the Hormuz crisis dramatically intensifies. European governments are already managing elevated energy prices relative to pre-2022 baselines. Industrial competitiveness concerns driven by high energy costs, defense spending increases driven by the Russia-Ukraine war, and political fragmentation that makes fiscal consolidation difficult. A sustained Hormuz disruption adds a new energy inflation shock to this stack. The specific channel is LNG. Europe has replaced Russian pipeline gas with LNG imports, primarily from the US, Qatar, and Australia. Qatari LNG exports, a significant component of European supply security, transit the Persian Gulf. Disruption of Qatari LNG exports would directly threaten the energy security arrangement that Europe has spent 2022-2026 constructing at enormous economic and political cost. This is not a hypothetical risk. The Rosgas and Qatar energy export facilities are within range of Iranian missile systems. The fractured space strategy and the European defense dilemma foreign policies September 9 report references Europe's fractured space strategy as a concurrent story, and the juxtaposition is analytically significant. European space and defense capabilities are directly relevant to maritime surveillance, satellite-based targeting, and intelligence gathering in the Persian Gulf theater. A Europe that cannot coordinate its space strategy cannot effectively contribute to the intelligence infrastructure supporting U.S. naval operations. This further concentrates operational burden on American systems and personnel, which is, of course, exactly what Tehran's strategy is designed to exploit. The IRGC revenue war. Second-order financial consequences. CENTCOM's decision to frame its strikes on Iranian tankers as attacking the IRGC's multi-billion-dollar shadow network. signals a deliberate strategy of targeting Iranian financial infrastructure rather than purely military assets. The second-order consequence of this approach is significant. It forces Iran to choose between protecting its maritime revenue streams, which requires defending its tanker fleet, increasing exposure, or accepting the financial attrition of losing tankers, which undermines the proxy network funding architecture over time. This is a financially sophisticated coercion strategy, but it has a time dimension. The question is whether Iranian domestic political pressure and proxy network degradation accumulates faster than U.S. Coalition unity erodes. The Plaquemium view the consensus is watching the wrong crisis. The market and policy consensus is focused on crude prices, naval force posture, and Iranian nuclear program implications. These are real concerns. They are also the obvious ones. The Plaquemium view is that the structural damage from this crisis will be concentrated in three places that the consensus is underweighting: European industrial competitiveness, Asian sovereign credit, and the private equity healthcare sector. European industrial competitiveness. The hidden casualty: European manufacturers, particularly in Germany, which has been struggling with energy cost disadvantages since 2022, face a compounding crisis. A sustained Hormuz disruption elevates energy costs, LNG import costs, and petrochemical feedstock costs simultaneously. For German chemical companies, automotive manufacturers, and industrial equipment producers, this creates margin compression that arrives at the worst possible moment, when Chinese manufacturing competition is already at peak intensity and U.S. tariff policy is restructuring global trade flows. The Plaquemium assessment is that European industrial distress creates significant private equity opportunity in the 12-24-month window as energy-exposed businesses come under pressure and valuations reset. Carve-out opportunities from conglomerates seeking to shed energy-intensive divisions, distressed debt situations in German middle-stand companies, and secondary buyout opportunities in energy infrastructure-adjacent businesses will all represent the kind of risk-adjusted return profile that the current environment produces. Asian sovereign credit. The mispriced risk Japan's 10-year government bond yields and South Korean sovereign credit spreads do not currently reflect the energy import vulnerability that a sustained Hormuz disruption represents. Japan imports essentially all of its oil and roughly 90% of its natural gas. A crude price spike of the magnitude consistent with Scenario 2 would produce a current account deficit deterioration that tests the Bank of Japan's already strained policy framework. South Korea faces analogous vulnerabilities. Both countries are running current account positions that assume energy prices within a manageable range. The market has not priced tail risk into these sovereign instruments. The healthcare private equity implication. The indirect channel this connection is non-obvious and therefore where the analytical value lies. Healthcare private equity deal flow is significantly correlated with broader private equity financing conditions, which are in turn correlated with credit market stability. A Hormuz-driven energy shock that produces European and Asian recession risk will tighten credit conditions globally, elevating financing costs for leveraged buyouts. Healthcare private equity, which has been one of the most active sectors globally in 2025-2026, will face deal compression as sponsor financing costs rise and target company valuations reflect the broader macro environment. The second-order implication is that healthcare assets currently in the market will either transact at reduced multiples or be withdrawn, creating a deal backlog that releases into the post-crisis period as a compressed wave of transactions. The non-obvious play. Defense technology mid-tier. The obvious defense play is the large prime contractors. The non-obvious play is the mid-tier defense technology sector, companies like Chariot Defense and its peers, that are positioned to receive urgent procurement contracts for the specific capabilities that the Hormuz crisis has exposed as critical gaps. autonomous maritime systems, electronic warfare for fast boat threat environments, AI-enabled target discrimination for multi-axis attacks, and long-range precision strike options that reduce the exposure of surface vessels to Iranian ballistic missiles. These companies trade at significant discounts to the primes on revenue multiples, carry less institutional ownership, and have asymmetric upside in an emergency procurement environment. The advisory board compositions of these firms, blending operational military credibility with venture capital access, reflect a deliberate strategy to access both the procurement pipeline and the growth capital needed to scale. The dollar and the petrodollar architecture, a sustained Persian Gulf crisis, has implications for the petrodollar recycling architecture that has supported U.S. Treasury demand since the 1970s, Kissinger-FOD arrangement. Gulf Cooperation Council, sovereign wealth funds, and central banks are major holders of U.S. Treasuries. If Gulf Cooperation Council state revenues are disrupted by infrastructure attacks and Saudi Aramco faces operational threats, the marginal treasury demand from that source weakens at precisely the moment that U.S. defense spending is surging and requiring treasury market absorption. This is a slow-moving structural risk rather than an immediate market event, but it compounds the existing fiscal pressures on the U.S. balance sheet. Watchlist 1. CENTCOM operational tempo versus Iranian tanker fleet ongoing, September-October 2026, the rate at which U.S. forces continue striking Iranian oil infrastructure is the key variable determining whether this crisis moves toward Scenario 1, managed truce, or Scenario 2, regional war. Watch for any pause in U.S. strikes, which would signal back-channel diplomacy, or acceleration, which would signal a decision to pursue financial attrition of the IRGC as the primary strategy. Source: U.S. CENTCOM public statements. 2. Houthi military operations at Bab el-Mandeb, next 2-4 weeks. The Maqa port seizure is a staging operation. The critical question is whether Houthi forces use this position to actively interdict shipping transiting the strait or hold it as a bargaining chip. Any active interdiction of Bab el-Mandeb would effectively close both choke points simultaneously and trigger Scenario 2 automatically. 3. Chinese diplomatic engagement, next 30 days, Beijing's response, whether it activates back-channel pressure on Tehran, offers public mediation, or remains strategically ambiguous, will be the clearest signal of whether a negotiated corridor is achievable. Watch for Wang Yi's diplomatic calendar and any PLA Navy movements in the Indian Ocean. 4. Saudi Aramco infrastructure status, ongoing. Iranian ballistic missile capability against Saudi energy infrastructure is the systemic risk that most markets are not pricing. Any indication of Iranian targeting of Abqaiq, Ras Tanura, or UAE offshore platforms would require immediate portfolio reassessment across energy, credit, and currency positions. 5. European LNG import data, monthly, starting October 2026. Qatari LNG flows to Europe are the early warning indicator for European energy security deterioration. A decline in Qatari LNG deliveries to European terminals, whether from disruption or Qatari precautionary reductions in transit operations, would confirm that European industrial competitiveness risk is materializing ahead of consensus timelines. 6. UNGA 81 diplomatic sidelines, September 21-24, 2026, the United Nations General Assembly Week in New York, running September 21-24 per the Foreign Policy Events Calendar, provides the diplomatic forum where the key parties will hold bilateral